And we're so thankful that we can come and to a service like this morning with freedom. And God, we just pray that you'll continue to bless us as we worship you in many different ways. God, you are so worthy of our praise, and we want you to be pleased with us. God, as we open your word this morning, we just pray that you will encourage us and open our ears and our hearts to what you have to say. And God, just bless this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've talked about some of this before, but I want to just start out and tell you a couple little short little stories and how it's fun to meet someone famous. And remember last Christmas in a message, I told you a story about Debbie meeting somebody famous. And just in case you weren't here, or maybe you weren't even at the service last Christmas when I told this story, but I told you a story about the time that Debbie had met Tom Jones. Remember I told you that story? I won't tell the whole thing, but I'll just as a reminder. So Debbie met Tom Jones, who's an old singer. I just heard he passed away. Somebody could check that, though. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I think it is. Anyway, that's beside the point. But Tom Jones was this kind of famous singer, and just in case you forget the story, here's just a little reminder. He was on his way to perform. We lived in Saskatchewan, and our farm wasn't that far from the number one highway. There was a little convenience store that we filled up our vehicles and tractors at lots, and so we were always at this little place, and it was a kind of a pretty neat stopping spot for people traveling. Well, Tom Jones, he was in a big tour bus, actually, and they had stopped there. They were on their way to Banff to do some, they were playing at a big wedding, anyway, so there they were, and his big bus was there, parked outside the little gas station out in Cairn, or Cairnport, Saskatchewan. Anyway, Debbie showed up, filled up her vehicle. She goes in and she strikes up a conversation with somebody that she didn't know. She did that fairly often, and she was talking with this guy. And then he said at some point in the conversation, he said to Debbie, and I know I've told you this, but he said, "You have no idea who I am, do you?" And Debbie's reply was, "No, I don't know who you are." And he said, "Well, I'm Tom Jones." That didn't help Deb. She still didn't know who he was. And so Debbie said to him, "Well, Tom Jones, nice to meet you. I'm Debbie Parent." And they shook hands, and that was that. And then my favorite part of the whole story was that he could tell she still didn't know who he was, and they kept chatting after that, and Deb said that it seemed to he enjoyed the conversation even more when he realized that she didn't know who he was, so it was a fun story. Now, I haven't met that many famous people. I'm trying to think how many famous people I've met, and really I can only think of a couple. But when I was in junior high school, I played in a school jazz band, and we got to play some fun places. We got to play our jazz band. We traveled around, and hey, I just thought of something. Our jazz band traveled out to Banff, too. We did. When we competed out there. That was a big trip. But anyway, here I was playing in a jazz band. We got to play one day for Prince Edward, who was visiting Fredericton. And so Prince Edward was in, and we got asked to pray, or to play, not pray, we got asked to play at this banquet that was being thrown to celebrate having Prince Edward there. And then after we played for the prince, we got to meet him. And Nick's going to show you a little picture here. This is kind of a pretty sad picture. But there I am, right there. And this is for some of you may know Jeff Cook. He's a brain surgeon now. Mrs. Watt, there's the prince. But anyway, that's the picture. That picture actually made the newspaper too. I remember it was in the Gleaner. But just keep that up there for a second. I want to just point out something about that picture. Now, so there I am in my geeky band uniform and a crooked bow tie and everything. But the but the picture's funny because. I like the look on my face in that picture. Like, I'm just kind of mesmerized by actually meeting Prince Edward. And I'm kind of starstruck there by looks of it. And when I look at that picture, though, I still remember even the conversation we were having. He was actually thanking us for playing for him. And I just thought that was pretty cool. But look at the look on my face. So this week I was with Janet, little Janet, and she asked some funny questions, and she asked some doozies, some really tough questions too, I'll tell you that. But we were driving along, and we were talking about all kinds of stuff, and then she had something on her mind, and she said to me, she said, "Dad, you're old," and I said, "Okay." And I didn't know what was coming next, but then she said something that she says, you know, every once in a while. This wasn't new, but she said, "So because you're old, and if you die before Jesus comes back, then there's a better chance you'll see him before I will." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Well, what's this all about?" And she said, "Well, if you do see him before I get to see him, please ask him this." And she had a question for me to ask Jesus that she was wondering about. So anyway, I thought that was funny. And it got me thinking, as I was driving along, even after the conversation was done, it got me thinking, though, standing face to face with Jesus. I might not remember to ask the question that Janet had me ask, but I thought, I wonder what the look on my face will be. And all I could think, and I think this periodically, all I can think was, when I get to see Jesus, I might have even a more stunned look on my face than that. Or I don't even think I'll be able to look at him. I probably will have my face flat on the ground. So it got me thinking. It got me thinking about that picture. And I can only imagine what my face is going to look like when I get to meet Jesus face to face one day. I'm looking forward to that. That day, I'm going to not only meet a prince, I'm going to meet the King of Kings. Amen. And I so look forward to that. Amen. Boy, I didn't mean to get choked up, but that's a pretty big thought. I already know him. And that's why I'm emotional, I guess. I already know him. And even more than that, it's pretty awesome that he knows me. It's quite a thought. Anyway, we who are Christians are taught to see ourselves in a whole new way in the Bible. We have met Jesus. We get to have a real relationship with him. And that's what being a Christian is all about. It's not just we get to say that. We do. We get to have a real relationship with Jesus. I want to share some passages of Scripture with you this morning that talk about some pretty neat things here. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." We get to know him. We get to know him. That's a big deal. And because of our personal relationships with our Savior and Lord, I think it's okay to personalize a lot of Scripture. not always, but and it's important to recognize the audience and the intended audience of who these passages were written to, but a lot of it, it's okay for us to personalize it. And often, a lot of scripture, it directly applies to us, we know that. And Jesus has promised and has given his disciples, but also us, many wonderful things. And the first one I want to mention, and I'm not, this isn't a huge list, and it's not a total list of things that Jesus gives, but the first one that I want to mention is he gives us his example of humility. And we were talking about humility at our Bible study the other night here, but this isn't that passage, but in John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17, and this is from the New Living Translation again here, it says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? Do you call me, teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. I like that passage. Every time I read it from the pulpit, I always, and I'm not going to do this, but I always think it'd be fun to have somebody come up and wash their feet. But I'm not going to do that this morning. But I think it would be fitting. But this is talking about being humble and serving. And really, this morning, this is such a simple message, a simple sermon, but I'm overwhelmed and emotional as I read these passages and as this message came together even. But I'm more than excited to know Jesus and to realize that he is God. And look at what he does and look at what he says. And his example of humility supplies and models what is so necessary for our lifestyle. And he promises that we will be blessed if we live as he lived. He was willing to even wash his disciples' feet. The next one is a promise, and it's his promise of a home. Now, I've lived in lots of parts of the country. I grew up here, moved out to Saskatchewan, was there for a long time, went out to BC for quite a while, and back. And everywhere I've gone, somebody always asked me, so where's home? And it always seems like it's the last place I was at. So when I moved to Saskatchewan, everybody assumed and said my home was New Brunswick. Well, then it was funny, I was there for a long time. And when I got to be there longer than I had been here, people still, you know, kind of talked about New Brunswick as my home. And but then when I went to BC, everybody, where's your home? Where are you from? I'm from Saskatchewan, you know, so my home, and I was always mixed up in my head. Where is my home? And nobody really. Anyway, it was just a weird feeling. And now back here, and I remember meeting people in the community here that never knew me before. And so where'd you move from? Well, I moved from out west, out in BC. And then anyway. That's where my home is, apparently. But none of that's true. I've got another home. And I'm going to go there someday. John 14, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." Jesus said all of that to his disciples, and they were troubled. Their Lord was going away. Friends, brothers and sisters, the answer to a troubled heart is a renewed faith in God and Jesus. I'm comforted by these words. I can just imagine him saying, "Travis, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." That's awesome. I love Jesus. Next one. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And depending on your Bible translation and depending on the passage, the Holy Spirit is called Helper, Comforter, Encourager, Counselor, Advocate. Listen to this promise that Jesus makes his disciples. This is from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. It says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." "No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." Wow. Jesus knew what his disciples would need after he left. A helper. And Jesus knows what we need. The Holy Spirit with us and in us. And again, I'm comforted by this wonderful promise. "I will not abandon you as orphans." That's pretty significant. "I will come to you." Jesus knows us so well. The next one is a gift. And it's peace to keep them from fear. All right. You'll probably agree with me that these days, peace sounds pretty nice. John 14, again, verse 27. Part of that same passage. He says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give." Yeah. "So don't be troubled or afraid." That's incredible. Jesus gives his peace. I read in a commentary that the peace of God is the Christian's fortress. I like that. The peace of God is the Christian's fortress. No wonder Jesus said, "Don't be troubled or afraid." That's a safe place, the peace of God. One last thing I want to mention that Jesus gave his disciples, and it's his joy to remain with them. His joy. In a passage where Jesus was talking to his disciples about God's love and his love for them, Jesus said this. In John chapter 15, verse 11, it says, "I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. The verses just before verse 11 also mention obeying Jesus' words. He loves us so much. I should want to obey him. That's a good enough reason. I'm going to obey him because he loves me. He has good things for me. It's all he wants. He has good things for me. So just to conclude, he is the example of humility. He promises a home. He promises the Holy Spirit. He gives his peace. And he gives his joy. He gave his joy to remain with them. Let's pray. God, you're an amazing God. We're so thankful that we have you. God, help us to be more like you each day as we live and as we fellowship together here as a body of believers. God, thank you for your word. You love us so much. That is so clear. And God, we ask now that you help us to be more and more like you. God, help us to want what you want. God, we want you to be glorified. And God, we do recognize that you are God. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.